Millions of American households don't have access to a broadband computer connection, which has been an issue on the campaign trail. Here's Hillary Clinton talking about it.
It's astonishing to me how many places in America, not way, way far away from cities, but in cities and near cities, that don't have access to broadband. And that disadvantages kids who are asked to do homework using the internet. 5 million of them live in homes without access to the internet. So you talk about an achievement gap, it starts right there.
Now, some schools do give students laptops or iPads, but that doesn't help kids if they can't do homework or talk online with their teachers and classmates. We're joined now by Edward Lee Vargas. He's Executive Vice President of AVID. It's a nonprofit working to close the achievement gap. And Dr. Vargas, how big a problem is this?
Well, when you think about it, Peter, the public schools are the backbone of our democracy. They were created to educate a nation of citizens who could be literate, think, and participate, and compete. So when we have students who don't have access to the internet, it becomes fundamentally a civil rights issue because we're denying them access to an equitable education.
You know, as someone who's been out of school for a while now, I think in most adults today probably didn't have internet growing up at home. But times, of course, have changed. Just explain to me on a really tangible level, how much more difficult does it make learning if you don't have the internet at your home?
Well, nowadays, it's all about not just memorizing information, but being able to access in real time. And when young people don't have that access in real time, it puts them at a tremendous disadvantage because you need to be able to access all of that knowledge and information
access
on
what?
The internet.
Access what? Are we talking about access to help with a math problem, access to a poem for an English class or something? What are you talking about access?
All of that and more when you think about all of the different applications that are available now to help students in all the various content areas, whether it's critical reading, writing, literature, information, to be able to compare and contrast and think critically. As our society transforms itself and technology becomes even more and more a part of our everyday living experience, it's really critical that our young people have access to that knowledge and information in real time.
And it breaks down by income. According to Pew, 31% of households earning less than $50,000 don't have access to the internet. And as you've alluded to, this is another way that the cycle of income inequality is entrenched into the economy.
Absolutely. And we know that education is the key to breaking that cycle of poverty.
Well, you've worked in many school districts, one in Washington State that gave out laptops to kids and tried other strategies to help try and solve the problem. What worked? And again, let's get down on a really tangible level here. What actually worked to help close this gap?
Well, basically, and you think about the district I was in, fourth largest in Washington State, with 138 languages spoken in the school district, that mirrors the future workforce. And having young people with these devices, one-on-one devices, with the connectivity not only at school but at home, we put what they call digital kiosks and hotspots in low-income housing, those types of things, so that when students got home, they could continue the learning, do their homework, accelerate their learning. And it had a tremendous impact in terms of the success of our students. We went from a 67% graduation rate in 2009 to a 92% graduation rate in 2014.
And how does it work, those kiosks that you mentioned putting into the public housing complexes? Just a public computer portal that people could come up to as if they were at school and do some of their homework?
Yeah, basically we partnered with our business community, and it was like a digital hotspot. Within the building that the young people were living in, they could access the internet just as though they were in school. And then what the business community did is they advertised on screens above the kiosk, so actually parents and kids could come up to those and find information about the school, classes, homework, that type of thing. But most importantly, it provided broadband access to students when they were not in school.
You mentioned private businesses getting involved. I wonder, though, if this is not a problem that the federal government should be solving. There is a program. It's called the Lifeline, and it does give low-income families subsidies for broadband. But is that the right policy solution? Should the federal government and state governments be doing more to solve the problem?
Well, when you think about public education being the responsibility of states and our government, and internet and broadband access being a fundamental part of that educational experience, absolutely. And I think it takes not only the community and what you were referencing in terms of the government, but also all the stakeholders who have a stake in this enterprise and the future of our country and the well-being of our young people.
That's Edward Lee Vargas. He's the executive vice president of AVID. It's a nonprofit group working on college readiness and closing the achievement gap. Dr. Vargas, thank you.
Thank you, Peter.